Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The best in the business. Great sales staff, great products. Service department that is second to none. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us. On this Tuesday, the All-Star Game is tonight. JT Real Muto will represent the Phillies tonight. Pirates actually have two reps. They have Josh Bell and they have Vasquez, their closer, who was a late add. And that will be tonight. The Home Run Derby evidently last night. And again, I had a game last night. So State College played Batavia last night. So when I got home, it was over. But I guess people were telling me it was a very entertaining Home Run Derby last night.
I wasn't planning on watching it, but I was checking my Twitter off and on, and people were just going bonkers about Vlad Guerrero Jr. And I said, okay, all right, we'll pop this on, see what's going on. And, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, he didn't win it, which is typical. I mean, anytime, usually you see somebody hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah, who'd have thought you clubbed 342 homers and and then a rookie wins the whole thing. Another rookie wins the whole thing.
Well, I mean, what happens is that the guys that are hitting all these home runs and hitting home runs, well, guess what happens to them as they go to each round? They start to get tired. These great athletes make so many things look so easy that you forget how hard it is, and they get tired. And Rio will start for the National League tonight. Verlander for the American League. And it's in Cleveland. Also, Sean sent me an article on something we've touched on before, and that is about Andy Russell, that this might be the last time through as an opportunity for him to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I know quietly, behind the scenes, Jack Ham has lobbied for this. And Jack has told me once, he's told me several times, that very few people taught him the pro game and how to play the pro game better than Andy Russell taught him. Jack's appreciation for Andy Russell is very, very deep. And he said he knew so much about playing linebacker. Andy told us that great Chuck Knoll story couple of years ago, where Andy was on the bad Steeler teams. And of course, he said Chuck Knoll gets up in front of everybody. And he says, I looked at the film and I know why you're not winning. And Andy says, everybody kind of perked up and said, okay, great. Finally, we're going to get some answers. A lot of you players aren't very good. Andy's like, oh. I think Andy ended up being one of five holdovers from Bill Austin to Chuck Knoll. And when they went to camp, Chuck Knoll had Andy Russell move his feet 2 inches in his stance. I think it was right about there. And of course, let's face it, what would you and I think? You and I'd be thinking, the heck, 2 inches? What difference does that make? And that's what Andy Russell thought. 2 inches, what difference is that going to make? And he found out right away in terms of the ability to play and how to see certain things. The 2 inches made a big difference. There will be an argument, and it is an ignorant one, that you hear all the time. And this is what I'm about to say is an ignorant argument. There are too many Steelers in the Hall of Fame. There are too many Packers in the Hall of Fame. There is no such thing as too many of any one team in the Hall of Fame. No such deal. The Hall of Fame is an individual honor. Jack Ham is in the Hall of Fame because of Jack Ham's great career. Jack Lambert's in the Hall of Fame because of Jack Lambert's great career. Mel Blunt is in because of Mel Blunt's great career. Joe Green is in because of Joe Green's great career. And on we go. Bart Starr, Dave Robinson, Willie Davis, Herb Adderley, Jim Taylor, Paul Hornung, Forrest Gregg. Well, he said for years, and we had him on the day before he was inducted, or the day before he was voted in, day before he was voted in. We had Jerry Kramer on the show. Well, as somebody who watched Jerry Kramer play, not in person, but many times on TV, I knew how good Jerry Kramer was. But man, that guy's good. Jerry Kramer should have been in the Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, a long time ago. Yet there was always this argument that there are, quote, too many Packers in. If you belong in the club, you should be in the club. Andy Russell should be in the club. Andy Russell was not just a good professional linebacker. Andy Russell was a great professional linebacker. And Andy Russell could play the pass. He could play the run. He's one of those guys that I believe in today's game, he'd be playing and starting. Many think that this is his last chance, his last shot. Well, I hope it pays off and he gets it. He deserves it. He's done a lot for our community here in the Valley. So off the field, Andy Russell's been a slice of gold. To the people of the Valley, Andy Russell's been a slice of gold. As a person, as a man, as a football player, Andy Russell, the football player, should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He should be in Canton. And there should be, and the ignorant argument of, there are too many Dallas Cowboys in the Pro Football, it has nothing to do with what team you played for. Now, maybe it afforded you some extra opportunities. Andy Russell got to play in a couple of Super Bowls. He didn't play in all four. He got to play in a couple of Super Bowls. But I'll tell you what should tell you everything about Andy Russell as a player. Chuck Knoll dismantled everything and kept five guys. Andy was one of them. That should tell you everything about Andy as a player. When Chuck Knoll went in with the idea that the Steelers haven't been good for a long time, and this is when they had 40-man rosters, not 45, a 40-man roster, right? Andy Russell was one of those guys he carried over with him, and he started game after game after game. And he played at a high level. The Steelers were able to get to those championship games in the AFC and then eventually get to the Super Bowls in part because of Andy Russell. I mean, you had Lambert, you had Ham, and you had Russell as your linebackers. Wow. When you look at some of the great teams of that era, Ray Nitschke Hall of Famer, Dave Robinson Hall of Famer, Leroy Caffey was a good player, not a Hall of Famer. Leroy Jordan, Chuck Howley, but Dave Edwards, the other linebacker for the Cowboys, not a Hall of Famer, but really good. In this case, Jack Ham, best ever at his position on the outside as an all-around linebacker. Jack Lambert in the middle, Andy Russell. All three are Hall of Famers. Andy is not in the category of Dave Edwards or Leroy Caffey. And I think Leroy Caffey's family would be complimented that we remembered he played with the Packers back then. And Dave Edwards with the Cowboys. Andy Russell was many steps beyond those guys. I hope he gets in. It's something that Jack and I have talked about. I remember the first time it really came up was a couple of years ago. Jack and I were driving back from Maryland together. And, you know, you're in the car for like 3-4 hours, so, you know, many different topics come up. And one of them was, I brought up the topic of Andy Russell, and then Jack, and we've talked about Andy many times before. This was just a reiteration of, I think that was the season where Jack was honored on the field for, you know, the Hall of Fame, and he had his gold jacket and the whole deal, and I think that spurred me to say, you know, Andy Russell ought to be in. And boom. Next 30 minutes happened to be Jack talking about why Andy should be in. I hope he makes it. I hope he makes it. It's interesting what he's done after his football career. He's had a Hall of Fame heart that has meant a lot to the people of our area. Now, is that taken into consideration with this? Probably not. They're going to look at him as a football player. Well, I can tell you right now, I watched Andy Russell play. Andy Russell should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The problem, you know, now, it's not with the five guys. Okay, these are like Jerry Kramer, the additional couple of guys. You look back and say, yeah, ought to be in. He's in that category. So it's not a question of they only elect five guys. Yeah, they only elect five guys, but there are always those couple of additional guys from another era. Well, Andy Russell's one of those guys from that era that I think can play in this era. And I hope that the door opens to him, because if it were to open to him, it would be very easy to say he deserves it. And Fritz Heinemann had nothing to do with me saying all these things, okay? And I think the world of you, Fritz. I do. You're awesome. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of the show. Actually, going to be talking to the color analyst of the New Orleans Pelicans coming up in the show today. Because the reason is they're making all the news. Zion Williamson, the trade of Anthony Davis, Tony Carr, Penn State's own, playing on the Pelicans summer league team. And he's in Las Vegas right now for that. So we'll talk to Jim Eichenhofer in a bit about that, about Zion Williamson, about the earthquake. He was sitting there broadcasting at the time when the earthquake took place. Wild. I was actually watching that game when the earthquake hit. I'm watching it, and I think we're in an earthquake. And you could see everything shaking on TV. Okay? And, of course, they stopped the game. And now they're talking about it. And ESPN, to its credit, I thought did a really good job of covering all the angles of it. And so I flipped over at one point to CNN to see, you know, like what's going on with the earthquake. And they're running some show about the 90s. I'm like, okay. So I flipped over to MSNBC, and Brian Williams is interviewing somebody about the Russian investigation. All right. And I went to Fox News, and they had an interview on. Okay, so I flipped back to ESPN, and they're talking more about the earthquake. Okay. So then I flip over after a few minutes to CNN to see if what's happening with the earthquake. They're still running a show about the 90s. I'm like, okay, this is these are like the news leaders? It's been a 7.1 earthquake. And the sports station is crushing them with coverage. So that's on MSNBC, and Brian Williams is doing his usual Russia thing, whatever. It's almost to the point where I think he can speak the language now. And then I flip over to Fox, and they're doing a report on it. I said, oh, well, at least they're doing a report on it. Mike Emanuel was on it at the anchor desk. So they're doing a report on the whole thing. Okay, fine. Yeah, I watched a little bit of it, but then I flipped it back to ESPN, and they're doing more earthquake coverage. Right? So finally, after a half an hour, I flip back, see it, and it's like, breaking news. Like, breaking news. I've been watching it on the sports station for a half an hour. Breaking? I finally found an anchor to finally come in? What?
Yeah, and to ESPN's credit, they weren't finding video that was on social media or on Twitter. I mean, they were actually going to other events going on. They went to Dodger Stadium showing reaction from there. And there was also, I believe, there was some kind of MMA ceremony going on in Las Vegas. And there was, I guess, the guy who was being feted for the evening was at the lectern on the stage when the whole thing was going down. So, yeah, they really did
a great job.
They did.
Meanwhile, whomever's supposed to be anchoring for CNN was at a Starbucks. I mean, getting a latte or something. I kept thinking to myself, no wonder your ratings are plunging. I mean, breaking news happens. They can't find anybody to break it.
Can you imagine Friday night if you were a Major League Baseball pitcher and you dreamed all your life to toss a no-hitter? That was the night you twirled a no-hitter, but you're nowhere close to California when it happened. Oh, great. I'm going to be top dog on sports. No.
It's an earthquake.
Night to do it. No.
No. Wrong time. Yeah. Zion Williamson sitting there.
And not even 3 hours later, the Kawhi story breaks. And I wake up Saturday morning and it's like, what? That happened after the earthquake? It's like, wow.
I mean, you got to give Kawhi credit for having a lot of guts. They have a 7.1 earthquake. He says, nah, I think I'll go there. All right, good. I'm going home.
Kawhi is Kawhi, man.
It's why my cousin George moved to Idaho. I said, why Idaho? He said, I'm sick of the mudslides and the earthquakes. I said, okay, George. He lived in Southern California for 30 years. But I'm watching the sports station, and they're covering everything. Dodger Stadium. Getting reports, talking to individuals, getting a feel for what's going on, showing the MMA deal. Meanwhile, CNN is showing Madonna. Because she was part of the 90s culture. We're your 24-hour heartbeat on news. California has its worst earthquake in 20 years. Anchor's getting a sandwich.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Any more updates we get on that, check-in online at WKOK.com. Or our next news update at 4:06. It is the All-Star game tonight. I will not watch until I get back. I do have a game tonight, so that's this is not one of those, oh, it's the All-Star game, I don't want to watch it. I probably, if I didn't have a game tonight, I probably would go out, play a little bit of golf tonight, get back, and then, you know, catch, you know, 3-4 innings of it, and, you know, and then make a decision from there as to whether to keep watching it or not. But I have a game tonight. State College is playing Batavia. And so I'll be doing that. So I might be able to see the last 2-3 innings. Maybe the last 3 innings. And I'll probably watch some of it when I get home tonight, yeah. Maybe at that point JT Realmuto will be in. Josh Bell will be in probably at that point. Vasquez may give an inning among the local guys. And I think it's still a great spectacle to see everybody on the field at the same time. You know, even though there is an opportunity now through ESPN, more Fox Sports 1 than Fox, but, you know, both, and MLB Network to see everybody, there are probably a lot of fans out there that for them, this will be one of the few times they've seen Mike Trout play, for example. You know, playing on the West Coast, playing all those 11 o'clock, 10:30, you know, actually they play more like 10:10, 10:15 games. You know, it's not easy for people on the East Coast to, you know, they see highlights of Mike Trout, but actually watch him play in a game. So, I mean, it'll be an opportunity to see people like that. And that'll make it fun. And that's where it is. I mean, it's going to be in Cleveland tonight. That's where all the action is. I mean, Verlander made a great comment the other day. About he'd been in it, then all of a sudden for a couple of years he wasn't in it, he missed it. And so it tells you what it does mean to the players involved. I mean, it may be, in the end, a, quote, meaningless exhibition game. But it does mean something to the players. A guy like Justin Verlander, who's been all the way through it and has a world championship ring with the Astros, has had just a great Hall of Fame career. Still means something to him. All right, they still have to collective bargaining. And one thing about the All-Star Games, it brings everybody together. So Commissioner Rob Manfred has been there talking about various issues. He said, no, they're not juicing the baseballs. Justin Verlander says, cut me a break. he said, quote, we're not stupid. But it also allowed Tony Clark, former Tiger, former Yankee, currently the executive director of the Major League Baseball Players Association. And he met with the media today and, as usual, touched on a number of topics. And he has acknowledged that he has proposed abolishing the amateur draft, which was very interesting. They wanted to totally eliminate the draft because he says it limits players' options. Now, these players take a while to get there. Obviously, we see that. Now, some guys have a more accelerated program. Adam Haseley, 2 years. He's at Williamsport 2 years ago today. Now he's on the IL, I think, right now. But 2 years later, he's with the Phillies. Look at Kevin Newman. Kevin Newman, first-round pick of the Pirates out of Arizona. Playing with the Bucks now. He was only in the minors a couple of years. Austin Meadows wasn't in there that long either. Then you got a guy like Mickey Moniak in the Phillies organization. It's going to take him forever to get there. I know he was drafted as an 18-year-old. And Tony Clark would like to totally eliminate the draft. He says it inherently limits players' options. Rob Manfred said that maybe they'll do an international draft. But he also said that he feels that the draft is, quote, the best mechanism for entry into professional baseball. And Clark says that he thinks the draft is inherently anti-labor. Well, obviously the baseball draft is a bit different than the NFL draft and the NBA draft, and maybe to some extent the NHL draft. In the NFL draft, it's the entry in, and everything in the NFL is slanted in such a way that it gives the underdog a chance all the time. The underdog, because of a lousy record, gets to pick higher than those who have better records. The lower record team gets a lower record schedule. You finish fourth place, you get a fourth place schedule. First place team gets a first place schedule. All of this is to create a parity in the NFL. The NBA, of course, has the lottery system, but again, you have to be a non-playoff team to be in the lottery. And even though the New York Knicks have more ping pong balls than everybody else, they ended up picking third. New Orleans picked first, and Memphis picked second. But again, only non-playoff teams are in the NBA draft lottery. The ability to draft somebody and it vaults you over the top is rare in the NBA. That LeBron James player that can take a lousy team. Now, LeBron and the Cavaliers didn't make the playoffs his first 3 years, but he gave them instant respectability. And we'll see how Zion Williamson pans out with New Orleans. We're going to talk about that in the next half hour with a guest from New Orleans who's in Las Vegas right now at the Summer League. The NHL, yeah, you can get a Connor McDavid who will go to Edmonton and have an instant impact, a Jack Eichel who can have an instant impact with the Buffalo Sabres. Hughes is probably going to have an instant impact with the New Jersey Devils. You know, usually takes a couple of years for the others to then get in there and play. Baseball, there's a process where you got to play usually 9.8 times out of 10 minor league baseball before you get your shot at the big leagues. So the feeling of Tony Clark is that the draft is anti-labor. It prevents young players from choosing who they work for. And it's also structured in such a way that it does suppress earnings. Like, I will say this about the earning part of it. You notice the NFL and the NBA changed how they pay the draft choices? Used to be holdouts left and right in the NFL. Big story, holdout, not going to show up, not going to sign. But there's a bottom line when it comes to a draft choice. You're paying for potential. Kyler Murray has potential. We have no idea how Kyler Murray is going to perform as an NFL quarterback. None. Until he actually goes out there and plays. Now let's take Carson Wentz. When Carson Wentz has been healthy, he's already proven that he is a top-level NFL quarterback. His performance, his contract that he just signed, is based on his performance. Kyler Murray's contract is based on hope. Why should Kyler Murray, based on hope, have a bigger contract than the guy that has performance? I mean, why? Shouldn't. That's not how it works. So that's where the labor part has this all misconstrued. Yeah, Zion Williams is going to get a rookie contract. Well, his second contract that he'll get is going to be based on what he does in his first 4 years. Saquon Barkley, same thing. Why should a baseball player, okay, says here, suppress earnings? Well, excuse me, explain to me what Mickey Moniak has done to help the Philadelphia Phillies. It's not his time yet. What's Moniak now, 21? It's not his time yet. But what has he done to help the Philadelphia Phillies? Zero. Why should he be getting more money, potentially, than JT Realmuto, who's a proven all-star? Why? The average number one pick has received a signing bonus that barely exceeds the one given to Tim Beckham back in 2008. League revenue has gone from $6 billion prior to 2008. It's now over $10 billion this year. Again, I'm not a huge believer, right? I'm sitting at the table with Tony Clark. I'd look him straight in the eye and say, look, Tony, exactly what have these players proven that they should be paid millions of dollars? What? Which game did they win for us this year? Which game are they going to win for us next year? Which game are they going to win for us the year after? Probably none. Alec Bohm played last year for the Williamsport Crosscutters. Third overall pick in the draft out of Wichita State. You won't see the majors this year. It's his second year. Right? Maybe he's a September call-up a year from now. You're telling me he should be making oodles of money? And that's why I always laugh a bit about the draft part of it. It's interesting how unions get wrapped up in the draft. And I talk about this with the NBA all the time. We want 18-year-olds to be eligible for the draft. They can go right out of high school. Perfectly fine. Perfectly fine argument to make. Perfectly fine discussion point. Okay? Instead of one and done, you want the old system where Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, and LeBron James can go directly from high school to the NBA. Perfectly fine discussion to have on the table. Yet why is the union having that discussion? I thought the job of the union was to protect its current rank and file. Name me another union outside of sports that is protecting its future rank and file. Their job is to, like, the people that pay the dues are the ones that are supposed to be the ones protected under the contract. Yet the NBA is always advocating, when it comes to the draft, we want 18-year-olds to be in. Well, if I'm a 6-year veteran, I don't want an 18-year-old to be in the league, potentially taking my spot. I'd like my union to fight for me for a little bit. I thought that's why I was paying the dues. And the same thing with Tony Clark here. The draft ought to be abolished. You should have nothing to do with the draft. They're not major league players, which means they are not paying dues, which means they are not a part of the Major League Baseball Players Association. Why is that even on the table? They're not your rank and file. At least not yet. And your job, Tony Clark, is to protect your current guys. Not who might be, not people who might be, and many who will never be. It's interesting. And why is it even a negotiating? That's the first thing I'd say to him. I said, why are you talking about people who aren't even members of your union? And potentially, how many are drafted? 1,200? How many of the 1,200, 1,300 are going to be drafted or are going to be members of your union? 120? 130 in this year's particular draft? Maybe? 4 or 5 years from now? The vast majority will never be a member of your union. Why are you fighting for them? Fight for them once they become members of your union. They'll benefit from it then. The system's worked for a long time. You went through it, Tony. It paid off for you, right? I thought the job of the union was to fight for its rank and file, not people who are not part of your rank and file. Am I misreading what a union is? I always laugh when they bring up the draft part. I always laugh about that part. At least in the NFL, when they're drafted, there's a good chance almost all those draft choices are going to be members of the union because they're going to make their teams. Okay? The NBA, no. And in baseball's draft, it is a long road and not many make it. We want to abolish the draft. No, it beats having a free-for-all. Well, look, the Dodgers signed 40 guys. We'll come back with more in a moment. News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, Mickey Moniak has played 4 years now. Right now he's on the 7-day IL. He's moved his way up to Double-A. He's with Reading. Now, he was named to the Eastern League All-Star team. But so far he has hit 284, 236, 270, and 266. He has 4 home runs, 38 knocked in, and 266 this year in Double-A. Okay. But he has 315 strikeouts in 338 games. I mean, the next step for him will be obviously Lehigh Valley next year. He'll be 22, and then maybe the door opens at the end of that season to be a September call-up in 2020. And maybe with a shot at making the team in 2021. Now that's the first overall pick. It's been a journey for him.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.